Passing Parade. Your favorite stories as told by your favorite storyteller. A man whose voice is familiar to millions of theatergoers and radio listeners. Here's John Nesbitt to bring you some stories from The Passing Parade.
On the reviewing stand again brings us now to Cocos Island. Every spring from these shores, a dozen or so parties start out for South America or the Orient in regular professional treasure hunting expeditions. It's an organized business. You will see in the want ads, if you look in the money wanted columns, odd little items like this. Wanted, able-bodied man with $1,000 to invest in enterprise that may yield millions. And if you answer such an ad, which isn't very wise, you will soon be looking at a dog-eared treasure map. And the odds are 100 to 1 that it will be fraudulent. But it's supposed to be a document to prove the existence of the treasure. And if you go further, you may find yourself buying one of those standard radio treasure finders, which shows the presence of metal under the surface of the earth. Leading ground for treasure hunters this coming spring and summer will remain Cocos Island down in the Pacific, which is about 400 miles off Panama, perhaps 500. I'm not very good in my geography. Cocos Island is a lonely, desolate sand pit, but there is almost no question but that somewhere on it is hidden a good $60 million worth of treasure. We have pieced together as much of the story of that tremendous hoard as any treasure hunter has ever been able to find out. And the story is so bloody that it makes Stevenson's Treasure Island read like a nursery rhyme. Most of the world's buried treasure is the result of war, because when a conquering army starts into a country, the gold and silver and the jewels go into the earth. The Cocos Island treasure came into existence when an army led by Simon Bolivar started toward the city of Lima, Peru, in the spring of 1820. Lima was the seaport for the gold and silver mines of the Andes, mines so rich that in earlier days the Indians had made their ordinary household utensils out of pure gold. And by 1820, Lima was a city of millionaires. It was undoubtedly the richest city in the New World. When word came that Bolivar was about to smash into the territory, the rich Spanish citizens of Lima made a deal with a sea captain named Thompson to load their treasure onto his ship and sail away until the danger was over. Onto his ship, which was called the Mary Dear, was quickly loaded $60 million in gold, and away sailed the helpful Captain Thompson. Although there is no document of proof, apparently Thompson betrayed his employers, because 400 miles west of Panama, he landed at Cocos Island. He murdered all his passengers, and with a few members of his crew, he buried the gold at a certain point on the island. Then he hoisted sail for Europe, planning to lie low until the scandal blew over and then return. But the Mary Dear was not 20 leagues off the island when the British warship Espiegel drew up and captured them. And here again the record breaks, as probably the log of the British ship was not preserved, because apparently Captain Thompson either bribed his way free or he escaped. At any rate, he did turn up in England a few years later, now a half-crazed invalid. Although he promoted capital with which to return to the island, he was sick and bedridden during the whole time. He was a dying man. And just as his expedition was being fitted out, Captain Thompson died. The expedition went on without him. It was headed by two men, one of whom has left a very clear account. Lawrence Keating is his name. The other was a Captain Bogue. According to their map, the treasure was located in a cave, which Captain Thompson had sealed with a large boulder. The boulder swung on pivots, and if you knew the combination, you could swing it open. Bogue and Keating found the boulder, they turned it back, and they found themselves staring at a sight that would rock the mind of any human being. 237 jeweled gold-hilted swords. 39 gold candlesticks so heavy that it took 3 men to lift them. A statue of the Madonna and Child, solid gold in 3/4 life size, 200 jeweled church chalices, 8 bars of ingot gold, and 19 religious statues of sterling silver. And again, treachery. The treachery that invariably follows treasure. Keating quickly stepped out of the cave and swung the massive stone back to place and left Bogue there to die. His skeleton is probably there to this hour. Keating rowed himself back to the ship, announced to the crew that he was in command, and rather than stir up a mutiny, the crew obeyed. Keating, with $15,000 worth of gold hidden on his person, returned to England. He planned to return later and take all the treasure, but he never did. He spent his money rapidly. He could never convince the British to invest in so fancy a story as he told, and he was either killed or he died in poverty. No record exists of Keating's death. However, apparently stricken with conscience pains, Keating sent a copy of his map to the British Royal Navy. The government had no faith in treasure maps, so it was passed around from office to office and eventually lost. Today, there are 12 maps in existence, which are believed to have been copied from the original, but the experts claim that only two of them are genuine, and which two, no one knows. There is a considerable traffic in selling the fraudulent ones. 20 expeditions have gone to Cocos Island in the past 50 years because it is established that the treasure is there. An inventory of it is still kept, but not one expedition has brought back more than a handful of old gold coins found in the sand from the $60 million treasure of Lima, Peru.
That's story number one. Now, while John Nesbitt is preparing his notes for his next story, here is some music from Victor Young. Now back to John Nesbitt's second story on today's Passing Parade.
On the reviewing stand once more, for nearly 15 years I've been following the progress of one treasure story, which is so far as the location of buried gold presents no mystery at all. In fact, you can buy a perfectly correct treasure map showing its location for about 10 cents, or possibly you can get one free if there are highway filling stations in the area. And here there is to be found a treasure of the finest, by which I mean a pirate hoard all wrapped up in oak chests with big brass knobs on them. The famous and fascinating money pit of Oak Island. One of the most astonishing mysteries of North America, the inexplicable adventure of the money pit began on a crisp November day in 1795 when three young men, Smith, Vaughn, and McGinnis were their names, were browsing around Oak Island, which lies off Nova Scotia, and they were looking for partridges to shoot when they noticed that in a sheltered cove, the land had once been cleared around in a circle. All but one tree had been cut down, and this tree, a great gnarled oak, had one limb sawed off. The men, the hunters, walked curiously up to the tree, and something about the limb caught their attention. On its upper side, there was the unmistakable mark of a rope having been run over it once to make a sort of pulley or to hold a winch. Right under the branch, there was a circular depression in the ground, which looked as though a pit had been once dug there and then filled up. Now, the young men knew that the pirate Captain Kidd had once anchored here and that he did dispose of an enormous quantity of booty. They became breathless with excitement, of course, and they began to dig under the oak tree as fast as they could, thinking that all they had to do was to shovel their way to gold. They may have thought the famous old pirate was rather foolish to have buried this treasure so openly, but Kidd was by no means a foolish man. He had prepared an engineering device to thwart treasure hunters that has guarded this pit right up into our own time. The three gold hunters, with hearts pounding, of course, dug down 10 feet, and then their shovels jammed into solid oak planking. Certain now that it was the treasure chest, they ripped up these oak boards, and they found it to be only a buried platform of hard planks put there just to make work for them. They dug another 10 feet, and they found another oak floor. At 30 feet, another one, and then they had to give up in despair. Some years passed when another man, a Dr. Linz, got up a whole company of treasure seekers and, with plenty of machinery, sank the pit to a depth of 90 feet, and every 10 feet found some sort of a barrier. At the 90-foot depth, a great slab of stone barred their way. On it was chiseled an inscription which reads, 10 feet further down, $10 million lies buried. Once more, Oak Island's now famous treasure was within the grasp of the gold hunters. The diggers had just time to hoist out that stone slab before they had to quit for the night. At sunrise, every man in the camp rushed down to the pit to finish the work. But as they looked down into the shaft, they saw to their amazement that it was half filled with water. Filled with seawater. They had reached the trap set by the wily old pirate. When they moved the stone slab, they sprang the trap that flooded the pit with seawater. They tried to bail it out, but it came in as fast as they removed it. And finally, cursing Captain Kidd for his deviltry, the second company of adventurers gave up. They were bankrupt. And down through the years, this story has passed, until in 1896, a skilled company of engineers, under the direction of Captain Welling, brought regular oil well drilling equipment to Oak Island. Taking borings, such as are made of mineral deposits, the engineers made the astonishing report, which has kept thousands of people interested ever since, as follows. At a level of 110 feet down, there is to be found a concrete vault 40 feet from floor to ceiling. In it are 7 oaken chests stacked one on top of the other, filled with some kind of loose metal. But although they brought steam water pumps to the place and they spent $100,000, they could not cut off the secret tunnel which was pouring seawater into the pit. Hardly a year passes now but what the residents of Truro and Halifax, Nova Scotia, don't hear of some new party of engineers like the present one coming to the island for a fling at unraveling the uncanny mystery of the Oak Island money pit, a treasure that you can stand within 110 feet of but never get your thumbs on a single piece of eight or a Spanish doubloon. And the ghost of Captain Kidd is still roaring with laughter at all of them as he moves along in history's passing parade.
You have been listening to Your Favorite Stories as told by America's favorite storyteller, John Nesbitt. Be with us the next time we move to the reviewing stand for yet another glimpse of the passing parade. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.